You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning. I'm Jim Shores.
And I'm Carol Anderson.
Together we are Acts of Renewal.
And our topic for chapel today is...
stress. If I wasn't so stressed, I'd be anxious. So how many of you are currently stressed right now?
Can we see hands?
Yes. And why shouldn't you be? I mean, this era is known for stress and anxiety. We've lived through a pandemic. We have these little phones we carry around in our pockets that have social media apps and front-facing cameras and the ability to like and dislike each other. We have a new president who's making a lot of decisions. Some people love it, other people are terrified, and everybody has an opinion about it. And midterms are next week. You're stressed. Well, good news. We are here to perform some theater, storytelling, and talk about five antidotes for stress, and they are?
So these antidotes are possible ways that you can, by the end of chapel, consider implementing into your journey in life with stress. And the first one is, no surprise, spending time with the Lord.
The second one is realizing that God, Jesus, is in the boat with us, and this moment is not the end of the story.
Our third one is gratitude.
Yes. The fourth one is keeping Sabbath.
And our fifth is community.
Yeah. So, do you know what Jesus says about worry? He says, don't. Don't worry. In fact, in Matthew 6, he says,
therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you would be eating or drinking, or your body. What about clothing? For is not your life more than food, and your body more than clothes? Consider the birds. They neither sow nor reap, nor do they store in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And he ends with, can any of you, by being anxious, add one more hour to your life?
So Corrie Ten Boom, who is just a hero of the 20th century faith, she spent time in a Nazi prison camp. She said, worry does not drain tomorrow of sorrow. Worry drains today of strength. But fortunately, God is with us.
So we're going to bring you theater today that we play a number of different characters, a multitude of ages, and through those stories, we hope something might speak to your mind and heart about this topic today.
And this first piece is entitled Bird Watching.
So does this question make any sense to you?
Nothing about this lab is making sense to me.
I take it you're not a science major?
I'm currently undeclared.
I thought you were a junior.
I am. What I want to know is how identifying 10 birds, 15 trees, and 20 whatchamacallits...
herbaceous plants.
...is going to help my life.
Oh, you can't come at things like that, or you're not going to learn anything.
Look, I'm fulfilling a requirement here. I'm not, like, changing my life.
Well, you're not going to get the most out of stuff if you do it that way.
What are you, Mary Poppins?
What's your favorite bird?
I don't know.
No, what's your favorite bird?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. Everybody has a favorite bird. What is it?
A cardinal, okay?
And look, it's right there on our list.
Of course it is. It's like the state bird of half the East Coast.
I'm just trying to help.
Well... sorry, what's your name?
Haley.
Sorry, Haley, I'm just not having a really great...
day?
...week, semester, life right now.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, I just want to identify birds so I can go off and freak out somewhere.
Fine, well, let's get started. Oh, I see a bird. You see that bush straight ahead? Oh, can you tell what color... that stripe that is on its tail?
Where?
Where are your binoculars?
I didn't know we were supposed to bring binoculars.
It says so right on the syllabus. Didn't you read it?
No. Why would I read a syllabus?
To know you're supposed to bring the binoculars she assigned.
Well, I didn't, okay?
Fine, grouch.
Freshman?
I'm not a freshman. I'm a sophomore.
Well, you wouldn't know it.
What is wrong with you?
Nothing. Let's just count birds.
Well, we can't really do that because you didn't bring the binoculars she assigned.
Okay, how about you count birds, I'll count trees.
No. We are going to do this together. That's what Dr. Klein said.
Well, as you just pointed out, I can't.
So, do you not even know the trees?
Yes, of course. I can recognize a flowering dogwood and a sugar maple. Thank you. I'm not an idiot.
Fine. Why do I have to end up with a psycho killer?
I heard that.
Oh, look. I see. That's a cardinal. That is a cardinal. Oh, and it's flying this way.
Oh, my word. He landed on my shoulder.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Yeah,
well, maybe he likes you.
That was weird.
Wasn't that weird that your favorite bird lands on your shoulder?
Yes, but let's not make too much out of it, okay?
I am just trying to make conversation.
Well, don't.
Why are you so mad?
I'm not mad.
Then what are you?
I'm barely holding it together, okay?
Why?
My girlfriend just broke up with me.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, funny thing is, I was gonna ask her to marry me next week.
That's not funny.
I know. So anyway, it's probably why I'm not the best lab partner right now. I haven't really actually dealt with it yet.
Wait, is she the pretty girl with the red hair that meets you after class?
Met me after class.
Sorry.
Do you ever just wonder what the point is?
Of what?
Everything.
Oh, I can't think like that.
Like, how can any of this add up to anything that remotely resembles a life?
Wait, don't talk like that.
Well, it's a big question, isn't it? You know, is my life gonna amount to anything? Am I a loser in the making? Am I already a loser?
Would you stop?
Well, I mean, I didn't even have a major. No wonder she broke up with me.
Look, it's gonna be all right.
Oh, yeah? What about you? What if you major in all this science stuff and you don't even get into med school or whatever?
God, I'd kill myself.
You could be a loser, just like me.
No, really, I'd kill myself. That or my dad would do it for me.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Look, can we just do this? Gosh, I have got so much work to do tonight. I've got to finish 2 papers, and I have got to start research on that honors project.
Your honors project? Isn't that like your senior year?
My dad thought it would be a good idea if I started early. I'm on the accelerated plan. I placed out of a lot of classes so I can graduate early. Isn't that exciting?
I guess. I mean, is that what you want?
It better be, don't you think? Of course it is. Look, can we just not go there?
If you say so. Hey, you want a Snickers?
A what?
A Snickers. I'm kind of hungry.
No, thanks.
No, thanks. Oh, come on, everybody likes Snickers.
No, thanks.
Oh, come on. I was a jerk earlier. It's my peace offering.
No, it's
take
okay.
It.
It's all right.
Oh, come on. Please take it.
Look. I'm good.
Oh, look at that. Mine is really good. Look at that. Oh, yum, yum. Chewy caramel. Lots of peanuts.
I can't eat that, okay?
Oh, my gosh. Hey, you're so skinny. You could eat like... Never mind.
I'm just not hungry.
Okay. Let's just count birds.
Good.
And trees.
Great.
One eastern redbud, Circus canadensis. Is this yours?
What?
This book, it's on this bench beside a white birch. Thank you very much.
No. Wait, no, wait. Whoa. My mother used to read to me from this book.
That book?
No, not this very book. I mean, like, it's the same cover, same picture. Collected works of Robert Frost.
That's cool. Is it from the library?
No.
Well, maybe you could give it to your mom, like, as a present, you know, like for Mother's Day.
I wish I could.
Oh, come on, why can't you?
She's in heaven.
Oh, God, I'm really sorry.
It's okay. I mean, she died when I was 11, but no, she did. She read to me from this book. Oh, I was stopping by woods in a snowy evening. Huh. Oh, and this was her favorite one, birches. I can't believe this.
That's cool. Maybe you're supposed to find that.
Oh, it's just a coincidence.
Ah, don't say that.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, what are the odds?
Really?
Okay, I guess maybe personally, I wouldn't mind it if it wasn't a coincidence.
Wow, my counselor said the most interesting thing last week.
You go to a counselor?
Yes.
Oh, I just meant, of course you do. I mean, it's fine that you do. I mean, everybody does, right?
I've got an eating disorder.
Oh, is that why you wouldn't eat my Snickers?
Why am I telling you?
I won't tell anybody, I swear.
I almost just don't even care anymore. I just wish I could be honest about it.
Well, what'd your counselor say?
Well, it's about coincidences. She said that if Jesus rose from the dead, then he's living today. And he's doing things in my life, but I just have to kind of like open up my eyes and see what he's doing.
You think Jesus left that book here for you?
Well, I think he might have arranged it somehow.
You found it.
I did.
All right, maybe I shouldn't say this, but supposing Jesus left that book here for you, like what would that mean? I mean, like what would the significance of that be?
What would it mean?
I don't know.
Like that he's involved, you know? Like he's involved in my life. Like he knows right where I am, like right this minute, and just maybe my life, maybe I matter to him.
Oh, you matter? Well, come on, you matter to him big time.
How do you know?
I don't know. I just know.
Oh, yeah, this is from my existential lab partner.
Hey, look, I said I was having a bad life this week. I didn't say I stopped believing in God.
I know what you should major in.
What?
Philosophy, for pity's sake.
That used to be my major.
Well, why'd you change it?
My girlfriend's dad made it pretty clear he didn't think it was too practical of a major.
Well, maybe it's none of my business, but I don't think it's too practical to base your major on the opinion of your future in-laws.
Well, they're not now.
Maybe that's a good thing, you know, like in the big picture. Like I said, it's none of my business.
How come you have an eating disorder?
I don't know. My counselor says it's something about like trying to please my dad, trying to make up for my mom's death.
You can't do that.
Do what?
Make up for your mom's death?
I know that. I know it up here. It gets down here. It gets kind of just all messed up, and I just can't bear to eat.
I mean, don't you get hungry?
Not that simple.
Guess nothing ever is.
Do you know what my counselor said? She said that no matter what I'm doing or even trying to do, that Jesus is in the midst of things, working it out.
All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. So my dad used to say to me in high school, I'd make fun of him. I'd call it the cheesy verse.
Yeah, but if it's true, it's not cheesy.
I know.
God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It's kind of what I'm holding on to right now, so please don't make fun of it.
It's kind of what I'm basing my life on, too, right now. Yesterday, I met Alicia after class, and I tried so hard to come up with something, like, amazing to say to her, you know, something that would hold her there talking to me like we used to, and instead she gets this, like, trapped look in her eyes and starts nodding really fast and scanning everybody else going out the door. Like, she used to think I was amazing, and now I, like, embarrass her. It's pathetic, isn't it?
You want to be friends? I don't mean I want to date you.
Thanks.
Well, I don't think either one of us is very good dating material at the moment.
I don't want to date again until I'm dead. Yeah, sure. I mean, I'd like to be friends. Part of my problem, I dumped them all when I started dating Alicia, so.
Friend?
Sure. Friend. How many birds you got?
I got two. How many trees do you have?
13.
13?
Yeah.
13?
I'm not as dumb as I look. You know what? Why don't you get the rest of the birds? Maybe you could catch the herbaceous plants.
Now, what are you going to be doing?
I'm going to sit on this bench and figure out the philosophical meaning of this lab. Like, this could be like a neo-orthodox existential environmental lab.
I think I see about like 10 more trees over there that still need identifying.
You want to bag all this? Just go to the grill instead?
No.
I'm starving. I could really go for a cheeseburger right now. I'd be happy to buy you some water. Sorry. Do you ever feel like an idiot like I do right now?
It's okay.
Still friends?
Yeah. Still friends.
I just want to assure you we know we're not 19. Okay. So anyway, so Brennan Manning in his book Abba's Child, he says that we need to open our eyes and see the things that God is doing in our lives. Now, maybe a cardinal will not land on your shoulder, but you might see a cardinal on your way to class, and that is just a remembrance for you that God is at work in the world. This flame of color in the middle of winter, this flame of the Holy Spirit that says God is present with us. One of the most useful anecdotes to stress that I can think of that I have learned in my years is to spend time with God in silence and solitude every single day, even if it's just for 2 minutes where I'm not asking him for anything, I don't have a list in my head, I'm just being still before the Lord and listening for his voice. Now, when my kids were little, we've got two boys, and I would sometimes take their little four-year-old faces in my hands and just be like, you are so cute. I just love you. You know, just like, I could eat you up. I love you so much. That's how God feels about us. He's not going to eat us, but he loves us. And we don't earn that love. We can't earn that love. It's simply a gift. Right? Now, we cannot walk with God in the cool of the evening like Adam says that, you know, the depiction in Genesis. Or can we? Because I can walk with God in the cool of the morning during devotions or cool of the evening during my devotions. Because Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in and dine with you. So he's right here. As we spend time with him, we are communing with him. And from that union, he promises that rivers of living water will flow out from our hearts. So honestly, communing and being quiet and spending time with God is the greatest antidote for stress that I have ever experienced. But another one is?
Well, it's like unto it. It is, realizing the presence of Jesus in the midst of our stress. So the Bible is 70% narrative. It's got 70% of it is stories, and we can learn a lot from those stories. Well, we learned something about the disciples when it comes to stress in a story that you will probably quickly recognize. We can have that slide. And this is Jesus is in the boat, yes, and it's a story about him calming the storm. That's how it's titled in the Bible, Jesus Calms the Storm. Well, before he calms the storm, this could be called the disciples freaking out in the boat because circumstances are bad, and they are in the midst of a storm that has squalled up with the wind so intense that it is knocking the waves into the boat, and it is filling up, and Jesus is asleep, seemingly unconcerned, and to the point where the disciples wake him up, and they say, Teacher, do you not care that we are drowning? Well, Jesus never answers their question. He just gets up and changes the weather. He does calm the storm, and he turns to them and he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Well, if you put yourself in that boat with those circumstances, you could probably understand the panic because we have our own, where we wonder if Jesus is asleep. Nobody's listening. I'm saying, help me, help me, help me, Jesus, and there's no answer. Nothing's changing. Well, when he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, he didn't lie. He was telling us the truth. And in our circumstances, it's good to remember that the resurrected Jesus is with us today doing things. And he is in the boat with us. And because of Jesus, the moment of the most intense stress, it's never the end of the story. Which is a great good thing. So remembering Jesus in the boat, in this moment's not the end of the story, is a good one, a good balancer for stress. But here's another one, and this is a great one. It's an antidote to stress that is embedded in Scripture, coupled with anxiety. It says in Philippians, don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. With prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, what's the little thing? Oh, it's prayer. Yes, prayer, absolutely. But we all know about petitions. We all know about the help me, Lord, with this. Please make this change. Please just make this stop. Do something about this impossible situation. What we sometimes overlook is this extra secret ingredient, and that's thanksgiving, gratitude. So gratitude is, like we've been saying, opening your eyes to see the many things to be grateful for during your day. And that habit of developing gratefulness does something to your brain. How do we know? Neurological studies have done studies on gratefulness and people who apply it and what actually happens in their brain by having an attitude of thankfulness and gratefulness for many things through their day. What happens? They develop serotonin and dopamine in the process of giving thanks, being grateful. That serotonin, dopamine is the stuff that gives us pleasure, a sense of well-being, even happiness. What else does it do? It does. Gratefulness lowers cortisol. That's the fight or flight. That's the thing that brings that great anxiety, that panic, that emotion. It's meant to keep us awake and alive in the midst of danger. But our anxiety can make all day long a danger, and that's not the way it's meant to be. The third thing that happens with gratitude in these studies is that it actually can groove a neural pathway that over time, as you apply gratefulness into your day, it makes you a more positive and grateful person. And that, in turn, affects your bonds with friendship and community. Isn't that amazing? It's already in Scripture, thousands of years before they discovered that this, in medical science, works in our brain, in the brain that God created us to have. So take that, apply that, but do one more thing. In these studies, it's just pure gratitude, thankfulness. Where we want to take in an extra step is saying thank you to the gift giver. We give a gift, you give a gift. What's the fun part? Is when they open it and they turn to you and they say, thanks. And you gave it out of love, but boy, it's a good, nice thing. And the Lord wants our thanks. It pleases his heart as well. So gratitude. Well, now we want to move on to the Old Testament. And we are going to look at a person in the Old Testament who definitely was dealing with some stress. And he had some decisions to make. And so I'm not even going to tell you who this guy is. We're going to let you figure that out in this piece entitled Go.
So I knew when the bush was burning but not burning that something was not normal. Wait,
burning but not burning?
Well, on fire but not burning.
Oh, not consumed.
Right. And then this voice comes out of the bush.
The bush was talking.
Well, no, not like that. It was a voice from the bush.
I see.
It said, Moses, Moses.
And what did you say?
I said, here I am.
Why did you say that?
Because he called my name. What else was I going to say?
Interesting. Okay, so then what happens?
Then he said, take your sandals off because the place that you're standing is holy ground. So I did, fast. And then he said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
How'd that make you feel?
That made me feel...
Careful, cautious, cowardly.
Completely terrified.
How terrified? On a scale of 1 to 10, you'd rate it?
187. He said he'd heard the cry of his people, that he'd come down to save them, that I was to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let God's people go.
Anything else?
Isn't that enough?
And you really believe that this was God you encountered?
Absolutely. It was realer than you sitting there.
Okay, so he says go, and you say...
I think you got the wrong person here. I mean, who am I to go to Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the Israelites? I mean, what if I go to them and they say, oh, I'm saying the God of your ancestors sent me, and they say, oh, yeah, what's his name? Then what am I going to do?
So?
He said, tell them I am who I am sent you.
Is that code for something?
What?
I am who I am. Is that a code name?
No, it's an awesome name of hugeness and power. It's what he said to Abraham and Isaac. And anyway, it makes sense to Hebrews and to others in the know.
So what is stopping you?
I don't know. He said he'd be with me, but what if they don't listen or they don't follow or they say the Lord didn't appear to you? Then what am I going to do?
And?
He said, take your staff and throw it on the ground.
Curious. Why do that?
I'll show you.
Ah! Snake! Snake!
That's cool. It works every time. That's okay. That's okay. He said if I grab it by the tail like this, voila.
How did you do that?
I didn't. God did.
The burning bush?
I am who I am. I can also do this cool thing with a leprosy hand, but I know you just had lunch. But anyway, he gave me some other signs.
Okay. So then what is the problem? Why don't you just go?
Oh, let's face it. Like, I am terrible at parties. I have horrible interviewing skills. I'm easily stressed, and I'm just an ordinary shepherd. I'm an ordinary shepherd. I cannot speak. I cannot speak well.
Did you tell him that?
Yes, I said I can't lead if I can't speak well.
Good boundary making. Did he respect that?
No. He asked me, who made my mouth?
Ouch.
I know. He said I should just go. He would help me to lead.
Yeah, he sounds a little pushy to me.
I told him he should find somebody else to do it.
Good for you. You stand firm in those insecurities. It's the only thing you've got right now. So what do you end up saying to all this?
Well, he sounded like he said, for crying out loud, but I could be wrong. But it sounded like he was pretty ticked off. Like, I was wondering if maybe I was going to have, like, a really short life there in about a second. So then he sighed, and he said, all right, your brother Aaron can speak, so you tell him what to say, and I will help the both of you to speak.
So.
I ran out of excuses. He pretty much nailed them all. But I got to decide if I'm going to move on this. I mean, he thinks that I'm a leader. But am I? What if I just fail?
That's a very good question. Okay, so let's go over what we've talked about here. You had a real encounter.
Yes.
You have a specific mission.
Yes.
You have some serious concerns.
Yes. And I'm wondering if that's normal.
To be honest, I've never had a conversation quite like this before. But I guess I need to ask you, do you have a passion for helping these people?
Of course I do.
And do you believe that God will do for you what he promised?
Oh, it's not God that's the problem. I mean, it's me.
Oh, look at that. Time's up. Okay. How about you journal about this week, and we'll pick this up next Thursday at 10 o'clock.
I got a hunch I need to move on this before then.
Are you hearing the burning bush again?
No, but if I don't move on this, then he's going to find somebody else who will, and then it's like I'm going to miss out on all the things that I would have done. I mean, who it is that I would have become? I think I just need to do it. I think I just need to go.
Well, all right then. Good luck with that. And oh, don't forget this. Pharaoh really needs to see that one.
So, probably leading the Israelites out of Egypt was stressful for Moses, the Exodus. You know, you come up to the Red Sea, it's there, what do I do? God says, well, raise your hands. He parts the Red Sea, we walk through, we wander around Sinai, we climb up to the top of Mount Sinai, God gives us the Ten Commandments, and in that Ten Commandments is an antidote for stress. It's the fourth commandment, not the fourth suggestion, and this one says, observe the Sabbath day. To keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or female servant, or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the stranger who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. For you shall remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty outstretched hand and an outstretched arm, and therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, Sabbath means intermission. It means you take a break from whatever you consider work, You stop it, you start resting, and then you just pick it up later. And Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So that means that it is a gift for us. It is something that God is inviting us to do because he knows we are going to need it. And where we discover the importance of this for the very first time is right here on this stage.
So we were here for speaking in a chapel, and it was before we were teaching here, so we would come every year, every other year, and perform, present in chapel. And there was a woman who was going to come this particular time who was going to do the speaking, and we were going to do theater to support. Her name was Marva Dawn, and she came in early as we were setting up, and I knew she was the speaker, but it was a surprise because she was not very impressive looking. She looked like a retired missionary. She had this long kind of floral dress on. She had these thick glasses, like 1980s glasses, and she had a built-up shoe so that it impeded a little bit her walking. We learned this was her second speaking engagement since having a kidney transplant, and that she would have to be on stage with us as we were performing because she was legally blind. So I thought, wow, that is a lot. I'm wondering, how is she gonna hold a whole room full of college students? So we perform our piece and we get off the stage, and Marva made her way kind of schleppy over to the front, stood there, took a breath, and began to quote scripture. And the power that came out of her, nobody was moving. I don't even know if they were breathing. They were taking in as she brought scripture to life, but not just that, the Holy Spirit through her. I'm like going, how is this happening? I knew it was God, but I needed to know more. So after chapel, I went to the seminary where she was doing a Q&A, a discussion about Sabbath, because she'd written a book on it called Celebrating Sabbath Holy. And she was talking about why Sabbath was important, and that's where she got me. She reminded us that it was one of the Big Ten, not one of the big suggestions, one of the big commandments. And it's the only commandment, the fourth one, that gives blessing. There is a blessing when you keep Sabbath, but you don't know what that is until you keep it. And she talked about her own investment. She said she kept Sabbath from sundown on Saturday to sundown on Sunday, and she would not do anything that she considered work. And when she worried during her Sabbath, like, I got this still to do, and what about that? She would write it out and put it in her worry basket and walk away from it. She would plan to do more work on the front end before she took Sabbath, and then again, more work on the finish end. And she said, here's the unexpected blessing, that when you keep Sabbath, when you get back to all your assignments, all your work, you work smarter, you work faster, you work better because you've had rest. She said those snarly problems you cannot figure out how to work out suddenly dissolve because you have the wisdom to know what to do. She said the specificity of the blessings are what God brings into your own unique and personal life. Well, she sold me, and we started keeping Sabbath, and we've kept it for years. Has that never changed? Yes, there's times when we travel, there's times when we're out doing speaking engagements, but we try to make it up in portions of a day during the week, because without it, we know the difference, and the stress level rises. So if you want a great antidote, try Sabbath. Not just unto yourself, but a time of rest, restoration, not doing work, unto the Lord, and see what it does for the rest of your week. So that leads us into our very last antidote for community, and that is community. And I don't think there's really any need to explain it besides just telling you the name of this piece is entitled Ice Fishing. There you are.
What in the world? Who is that?
It's me, silly.
Alice? Alice, is that you?
What in the world are you doing in the middle of Lake Hunkapatunga in the middle of winter?
Well, no, because when I do it in the middle of summer, I wind up on the bottom, eh?
You know what I mean, Bob. It's Christmas Eve. What are you doing here fishing in the middle of the night?
Well, if you must know, I'm looking for walleye.
Well, them walleye are sight feeders, don't you know?
Yeah, that's why I got a glow-in-the-dark worm on the end of my hook, don't you know?
Oh, aren't you more clever than an old wolverine?
Well, now it's my turn to ask you, what are you doing out here in the middle of a lake?
I'm looking for you, that's what.
Me?
You didn't come in for your pie tonight.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, you come in for pie and coffee, 10:30 sharp. That's how I know my shift's almost over.
Well, say, aren't your feet getting cold?
Nah, I got on Finmore's old hunting boots.
Oh, you got a boyfriend?
No, Finmore's my late husband, you know that. He died 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Oh, I'm not. He snored something awful. I didn't get a lick of sleep for 17 years.
Well, hey, you care to sit down?
What? Don't mind if I do. My feet are killing me.
Oh, yeah. Truck stop busy tonight, eh?
Oh, it's a loony bin.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to get home for Christmas, doing last-minute shopping. We got some new jewelry down at the truck stop, and it looks all spendy, but it's for cheap.
Yeah? Are you going home for Christmas?
Oh, to my trailer, yeah. Oh, I got it fixed up all cozy-like with little icicle lights, little reindeer and stuff. Oh, it's looking for cute, I'd say.
Yeah.
Hey, you should come over tomorrow. I could make up some eggnog, or if you catch some walleye, we could fry it up good, eh?
Yeah.
What you doing out here, Bob?
Oh, you know, just looking at the stars, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them, there is.
Yeah.
You see those three right there?
Yeah.
That's the belt of Brian, I think it is.
You don't say.
Oh, yeah, that's old Brian's belt.
What do you know?
What's the matter, Bob? You haven't missed your pie in 4 years.
I didn't know you noticed.
Well, I did. What is it, Bob? You got the Christmas blues?
See that hole right there in the ice?
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've been sitting here about 3 hours thinking about maybe jumping right through it.
What do you want to go and do that for, Bob? You jump into that hole, you'd freeze to death and then you'd die.
That's kind of the point.
What do you want to go and kill yourself on Christmas Eve for, Bob?
Hadn't made too much out of my life now, have I?
Oh, that just frosts my butt. A man like you, you got the whole world ahead of you is what you got.
I ain't got nothing.
You've got a job?
Oh, yeah, cleaning the high school. Ain't that something to just write your mother about?
That high school gets mighty dirty, and it needs someone to clean it.
And the kids, they all think I'm a joke.
Well, you put your self-image in the hands of a 16-year-old, and you're bound to come away disappointed. What about your family?
I ain't got none, you know that. Never been married.
Any pets?
I got a 3-legged dog keeps following me home. See, my life, it hadn't amounted to nothing.
Now, that's just a matter of perspective, don't you think? But do you hear that singing? That's the midnight service. At First Methodist is breaking up. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Behold, the Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. That's where I go. I grew up Baptist, my husband was Methodist, I just sort of got into the habit, they got a beaut of a midnight service there. Everyone comes in, and we all get these little candles, see? And the pastor, he lights his candle off the big candle on the altar, and he lights it along the front row, and then they turn around, they light the row behind them, and then back and back until the whole chapel's filled with light, everyone's singing, trying not to let that hot wax drip on our hands. I usually go.
How come you didn't go tonight?
You see that trailer over there on the shore?
Yeah.
That's my trailer.
wait a minute, that's your trailer.
Yeah.
I usually build my fish house right here come January.
I know. I like how you decorated with all them stuffed ducks.
Oh, yeah. Guess that's a little weird.
No, no. I look forward to it.
You should come out here. Visit me sometime.
Well, I can't do that if you go and kill yourself. Now, can I?
Oh, no. I suppose not.
Anyway, I'm in my trailer. I'm getting ready for the service. I look out the window. I see someone sitting in your spot on the ice. I thought it might be you, so I brought you a pie.
A whole pie?
I thought you might be hungry.
Huh. I don't know what to say.
You could say thanks.
Thanks, Alice, but there, it's just real nice.
Oh, don't mention it.
I didn't get you nothing.
Oh, no, that doesn't matter. You just, oh, Bob, you got a bite there, Bob.
Doggone if I don't.
You best reel it in.
Yeah, yeah, I'm trying here.
Ooh, this is a big one. You're not snagged on a lug now, are you?
Oh, no, that's a fish for sure. It's fighting back.
Ooh,
look at that.
This is exciting. So what do you think it is?
I don't know. It feels bigger than a walleye.
Could it be a big mouth bass?
I don't know. It feels bigger than a bass.
Bigger than a bass? What would be bigger than a bass?
I don't know, but here she comes.
Oh, here she comes.
Oh, bless me. That's a pike.
Oh, that's a pike for sure. That's the biggest pike I ever did see. 18-pounder for sure. Are you going to keep it?
You betcha.
Oh, watch when you get the hook out of its mouth, them pikes can bite.
There, I got it. Yeah.
Are you going to stuff it and mount it?
Nah.
Because, you know, I got a good pike recipe.
Oh, well, you know, I'm thinking all of a sudden, you want maybe I should come by tomorrow. Maybe you could help me cook up this here pike.
Well, we could do that. We can have some coffee with that pie proper-like. We can have the pike for lunch, but there's something else I want to ask you.
Yeah?
What I want is that you would meet me for church 10 o'clock sharp.
Church? I ain't got a suit.
Well, you don't need a suit. You just need to show up.
Church?
It's better than jumping in that hole. And then we can have that wonderful lunch together, like I said. And what do you say?
Sounds real nice, Alice.
Oh, yeah, you betcha. Well, I'm feeling a little cold here. You know, my feet, after all. You know, I think I'm just going to walk across the ice there back to my trailer.
Yeah, real good, yeah.
You think you can make it home now without falling in that hole?
Yeah, I think maybe now I can.
All right, then. Good night.
Good night. Alice.
Yeah?
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe you saved my life here tonight.
Ah, nothing to it.
Alice.
Yeah?
Well, do you think maybe, do you think maybe I could kiss you?
On the lips?
Yeah, on the lips. Where else?
Well, Bab, I've been waiting 4 years for you to ask me that.
Well, all right then. Yeah, come here, give us a kiss.
No, sirree, you come over here and give me that kiss.
Oh, yeah, that's better.
Well, that just takes the chill off, don't it?
Sure as heck does.
All right, then. Now, I'll meet you at the church door at 10 o'clock. Don't be late.
I'll be there. This is true.
All right, then. Good night.
Good night. Oh, Alice.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Bob. You got pike juice running down your arm there, Bob. You best go home, wash that off before it freezes solid.
Yeah, good idea.
All right, then. Good night.
Good night. Look at you. Aren't you a beaut? Wow, to think of it. An hour ago, it was me and the stars out here all by myself, and now I got you and a girlfriend. What do you know?
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Behold, the Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we had gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, thank you. We will wrap up really fast. So who can you give the gift of just showing up to? Community, who can you call? Who can you text? Who can you give the gift of communication for whom it would be a gift? So we've talked about 5 antidotes to stress. We've talked about spending time alone in silence with the Lord. We've talked about Jesus is in the boat with us, and it's not the end of the story.
We've talked about gratitude.
We've talked about keeping Sabbath, and we've talked about the gift of community and making each other feel safe, that we belong. So go out there, be at peace. God is in the boat, working all things together for the good of you who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. Lord Jesus, bless our day. Thank you that you dwell within us and that you are for us, and therefore who can be against us? You are dismissed. Blessings.